Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, thank you because your word is true, your word is life. Thank you for the destiny you have for us, for the future you have for us. We are gathered today again to be energized, to be instructed in righteousness, to receive insight, foresight, with the benefit of insight, with insight into your plan, purpose for us in our lives. We receive the strength, the wisdom, the technical know-how. We know what to do, how to do, where to do, and with whom to do what to do in the fulfilling and into working of your plan for us in life and destiny. This we receive today. Lord, I quicken every dead visions. I bring alive every dead plans. And I bring resources to every abandoned plan in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so futuring. For those of you following me on social media or following the church, CCC Cafe on Facebook, or on Instagram or wherever, if you're following me on social media, Elijah Amuson, you already know what the title is because I shared it. Futuring. And what I want to do today in this teaching is to just give us the, what I will call introduction today. The next week will go deep into it. So, according to encyclopedia.com, futuring is the field of using systematic process for thinking about, picturing possible outcomes, and planning the future. So in first service, I already shared with them, you know, fantastic things along this line where I was, you know, just defining this basic phraseology that were contained in this definition. So number one was that thinking about, that means, you know, there's something about thinking, and I give them what to do in order to make thinking come alive, you know, thinking about. Notice it is not just thinking on or, you know, worrying. It's not between worrying and thinking. This is a productive thinking. That's why the picture we used, you can see there's a light bulb that comes in that thinking. It's insightful thinking. There's a process of thinking. It's a system thinking. Then we spoke about, you know, after thinking, then picturing. You see, you have to picture, you know, that future. You know, it makes no difference how authentic a vision is. It makes no difference how divine a vision is about your future. If you do not have a pictorial representation of that future in your imagination, you could as well forget about it. And you see, there's no reason why to wonder why all through scripture, everyone God ever used, all right, he took them through that school of bravery where he worked upon their minds. Take, for instance, Abraham. God took him out of his mental cocoon and told him, count the stars. And Abraham will go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, 1, 2, 3. No, have you ever tried counting the stars before when you were a kid? Come on, talk to me. And you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, there are many. And God says, yeah, so shall your seed be. He did the same for Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, he says, look, don't say you are a kid. He did the same thing for Joshua. He took him out of that mental cocoon. And then he says, look, in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. So he has to see it. There must be a mental imprint of that future in your imagination. You see, and it makes no difference, like I say, how authentic a prophecy is. This is God's MO. So you wonder, why is it, or why does it look as though this is God's MO for leading us into that our glorious future? And I told you in first service, I said, listen, it's because you cannot feature in a future that you have not pictured. It's a law, a principle based on a predictable consequence of an act. So this is so important. You have to picture it. You must see it. There must be a memory alignment. You must see it all the time. Look, can I be honest with you? You are either running on a mission, going on a vision, or you are burning with a passion. I'll come again. You see, you are either running a vision, going on a mission, or burning with a passion. If you don't belong to any of these three categories, life is reduced to nothing but a burden. So it therefore means that critical thinking is what positions you for your future. So when we're talking about futuring, we're talking about you doing a critical thinking system, picturing that future, and at the same time positioning yourself through intelligent planning for that future, so that things won't happen to you. You'll be the one making things happen. And that's what separates the two people. Planning is what separates a joker from somebody who actually means business. So in this second service, I want to share with you, all right, in continuity to what I began with them in first service. And it's very simple. It's something I want to reemphasize, that you see, prophecy do not automatically happen. You have to engage them. That there were glorious things said about you and your future does not mean you wake up one morning and then it will happen. You have to engage them. You have to position yourself. And at the worst case, at least be like the four lepers who said, look, if we stay here, we will be dead in hunger. If we go and they kill us, all the same. Guess what? When they got to Samaria, there was an angelic sound that was ringing in the bell of everyone in Samaria. They thought it was a troop of soldiers coming. And when they got to Samaria, the Bible says they met an empty city with a lot of goodies. So they got there and they ate. They were full. And the guy who was one of the king's lieutenants, who says, that can't happen now, even if God opens the window. Guess what? The Bible says, that same day, he was appointed to be in charge of the gates into Samaria. And because of the rush, he was trampled and killed. And this is just the fulfillment of the prophetic code that was said in verse 1 and verse 2 of that same 2 Kings 7. That with your eyes you will see, but you will not enjoy it. Why? Because he couldn't picture it. So you cannot feature in a future you haven't pictured. This is so important. And it has nothing to do with old age. Your age notwithstanding. You can go back to school. You see, I'm so surprised when people tell me I'm old. You know, how old are you? Our pastor is saying I'm almost 30 now. I can't go back to school. Really? You can say an elderly man here. He's been married for 20 years. I'm sorry I have to say this. He's been married for 20 years. And he's in school. His daughter is in 200 level in Nile University. And he's back to school. See, look, T.L. Osborne at the age of 75 learned Spanish so that he can preach to the Espanol people. What is wrong with you? You're not too old. Get something doing. Learn that skill. Position yourself, sharpen yourself well for that future. At least, if not for you, for your coming children, at least. Leave a legacy. Sharpen your skill. Own your skill. And stop looking for freebies. Pay for skills. Pay. Reduce buying shawarma. You see, you have to understand this thing that, look, if you don't pay today, you will play tomorrow. So that's the point. You see, contrary to popular philosophy that Christ hardship as a major deterrent to destiny fulfillment, in reality, especially in our generation, self-preservation is one of the most underplayed truths that is behind why people don't fulfill destiny. Especially in our generation, self-preservation is one of the most underrated deterrent enemy of destiny. And you have to be very smart and be discerning to spot the difference, because if you are not so careful, people out of sincerity and love for you will help you walk out of God's plan for you. Take for instance, how do you explain this? Jesus came to die for the sin of the world, so the cross was his destiny. And Jesus, in chapter 16 of the book of Matthew, began to talk about how he will go to the cross and die. And out of sincere love, Peter says, "No, Master, be far from you." Guess Jesus' reply. "Get behind me, Satan." What? Somebody who loves you sincerely? So Jesus arrogates Peter's response to the announcement of him going to cross as being satanic. In fact, he said it is ungodly. He went on saying, "For thou savourest not the things that be of God." Guess what? Imagine a new scenario. 10 chapters after, in verse 26, chapter 26 of the same chapter, a beautiful scenario. Judas the betrayer, in verse 50 precisely, comes to kiss Jesus for betrayal. And guess what Jesus will say? Jesus said, "Friend, do what is in your heart, do it quickly." So he calls Judas friend, but he calls or arrogates Peter's action as being satanic. You have to be discerning. Why? I'll tell you why. You see, Judas's action was going to move Jesus closer to his destiny, even though it was going to be painful. You see, as a child of God, you have to make up your mind that you will pay all the legitimate price required of you in your youth age. Because like John C. Maxwell says, if you don't pay today, you will pay tomorrow. He says, pay today and play tomorrow. Play today and you pay tomorrow. There are no two ways about it. So, and the most funny thing is this. There will be 1,000,001 chances out there looking and staring at you for you to play away your entire youth age. So you have to be smart and discerning to be able to prioritize choosing, you know, destiny-enhancing choices over such stupid chances. There have to be a cognition system that is fired up in you to discern. Because, take for instance, you are happy for me today. Isn't it amazing? Few weeks ago, last year, during 3 days of glory, my dad traveled all the way. And he came, he met some guys, the tech guys, during one of the break sessions. He prayed for them. He was happy for what I am doing. But this was the same man many years ago who, out of sincere care, told me that, "Why are you such a bastard? You just finished from OAU. You are a young boy. You say you want to go to Canada, to University of British Columbia. Okay, go and bring your transcript. Let's work this thing." He said, "No, I want to preach." Preach? The preaching is not a job. Get out. I don't want to see. A time came, he said, "I don't want to see you again. Get out. You want to be a preacher." But he's happy today. Out of sincere care and love. The parents of Jesus, some of you, that's why it pains me. You are not positioning yourself for your future. They are still using ham to rub your head. Gabby Douglas was 16 years old. She was the first black American lady to get the medal for under 16. High jump. At the age of 16, she traveled to China to be trained for 2 years. She was away from her parents for 2 years to be trained. At the age of 16, a black American girl. And the parents are partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministry. So that makes it interesting to me. And she won the medal, the first black American lady. Gosh! She paid the price. So, look, you have to realize that prophecy only speaks of potential of a person, not a fulfillment thereof. So, your informed potential should call for a present hour action within the context of that expected future. So, if your present actions are not predicated or are not informed by your understanding or your expectation of the future, then you are just a joker. What do I mean? What I mean is, if what you are expecting to see in 10 years is not already dictating what you are doing now, you are a joker, because the law of cause and effect will play off. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Look, there are no two ways about it. There are no two ways about it. And like I said, Stop using hardship as an example for why you shouldn't go for your dreams. Contrary to popular philosophy that crests hardship as the major deterrent to fulfillment of destiny, in reality, especially in our generation, can I be honest with you? Like I said earlier, one of the most underrated causes of not fulfilling destiny is what I will call self-preservation. And I gave you an example just now. That how do you explain that Jesus, who already knew his purpose was to die for the world and the cross was his destiny, would be talking about how he will go to the cross in Matthew 16, and out of sincere love, Peter would rebuke him, saying, "Master, far be it, Lord." And Jesus would turn back and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So he arrogates Peter's sincere love and care to being satanic and, in fact, ungodly. Because he goes on to say, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God." Now, here's the interesting thing. 10 chapters after, chapter 26, a beautiful scenario played out. Judas, who was supposed to be a betrayer, and he was, by the way, came to betray Jesus with a kiss, and Jesus says to him, "Friend, do what is in your heart quickly." Are you kidding me? So he calls Judas a friend, and he arrogates Peter's sincere love and care to being satanic. Why? It is discernment. He knew that even though that one was a caring thing, yet it was satanic because he was anti-purpose. But as for this guy, he knew Judas's action was going to move him closer to his destiny. So you see, it is so subtle in our generation that people out of sincere care and love can take you and walk you out of God's plan for your life if you're not discerning. So as a child of God, it's your responsibility that you must be determined to pay your price for that destiny right now when you are still a youth. John C. Maxwell was right afterward when he says, "Pay today and play tomorrow." You play today, then you pay tomorrow. There are no two ways about it. And the most unfortunate thing is there are a lot of chances out there in the world that is staring at you, ready to take away your youthful age completely from you. A lot of chances out there. So you have to be brilliant to make destiny-enhancing choices over such chances. This is so important. Very important as a child of God. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. So, what I want to tell you in this second service, like I told you, today's teaching is just to prepare you for this teaching, future. Because, you see, sometimes, some of you don't know, only my wife could tell, sometimes I wake up in the night and I'm like, "God," and I'm thinking, and I'm mentioning people's name, "God, what about this guy? What about this girl in my church? What about this guy in my church? What about this guy in HOD? What about these guys? What about..." Because in my heart, you know, sometimes I almost want to say, am I not getting too anxious? Because it's not anxiety, actually. Because this is one of the problems of a prophet. A prophet sees your future, and in his mind, he wants that future to happen now. So I see a lot of potential, and I'm like, "God, when is this one will become this? When will this one will become this? When will this one become this, oh God?" And I'm just praying. I'm just praying as your pastor. I had a meeting with our stewards yesterday, and I showed them the plan for the year. You see, you have to realize that, look, if you don't take action, it's just like the law of thermodynamics, the first law of thermodynamics in physics, is a body will remain at a state of rest forever, except and until there's an external force. It will remain at the body of rest, at the point of rest on a straight line. There must be an external force. If there is no cause, there won't be an effect. If there is no fire, there won't be smoke. If you don't put in the work and get dirty by your destiny, only you and your family will know you are called. You know, I stumbled on a video that stirred me of Apostle Joshua Selman. He says he's from the north as a minister. I hope you know he's one of the cutting-edge ministers in this country. You know, you may not agree with his doctrine, but you have to be sincere enough to respect people for a certain degree of success that they have. Because success is a proof that certain principles has been adhered to. Do you know what it means to wake up all your life for 20 years with a burning heart for your vision and doing consistently what you need to do to make that happen? Look, it takes some hard work. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He says, knowing that he's from the northern part of the country with a lot of things that can, you know, that has the potential of limiting him, he knew he needed to work extra hard. Because, you see, people fulfill destiny not, you see, it's a lie from the pit of hell that cursed hardship as the reason for not fulfilling destiny. It's a lie. Let me give an example. I've told you this before, that by the grace of God, though I'm from a average Ombo, we're privileged to grow among some of the richest people in this country in the Southwest. I mean, when a owner of university is your neighbor, the present governor of Ondo State was my neighbor. Obasanjo's lawyer for 8 years was my neighbor. You can imagine the caliber of people we were living with, although we were living in boys' quarter in that estate. But their children were our friends, so we grew up together. Do you get what I'm saying? But guess what? I found out that even statistics has proven it. 80% of every, just as an example, 80% of all the rich people you can think of today, they were from average homes. So now, question is, what happened to the children of the rich guy of those average people when they were average? It turns out that the greatest, listen, look, it's not about them having money at all. Hardship is overrated. Self-preservation is the most underrated cause of destiny failure. People want to be self-preserved. And there are songs to help you do so. This life, I can't keep myself. Oh, I can't allow me to enjoy. There's one thing I saw. It's so funny. It's on TikTok, but it's stupid. Give me this. Give me that. He said, I cannot think about my future. My future will take care of itself. You see, it looks funny, but it is very crafty and satanic. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important. So, I just want to tell you one thing in second service. Just one thing I'll tell you. What would you do, having received a prophetic word for your destiny, having been able to say, okay, this is where I am headed. You already know where you are headed. So, what is that thing you should do? What is that action you should take? That's just one thing I'm going to tell you. One thing. And it's not something you haven't heard before, but you haven't paid attention to. Just one thing. And that is the action plan for a convinced future. What is the action plan for a convinced future? The action plan for a convinced future is to build capacity. That's why I'm showing you this picture, so that I can paint it. Look up, everybody. I'm showing you this picture. You have to build capacity. You must build capacity. Some of you want to speak, but you see, your English is poor. You don't know how to arrange your diction. You don't know how to arrange your thoughts sequentially. You don't even know how to present yourself before different audience, because you have to speak differently to different people with different context. You have to build capacity. Capacity building. A lot of people want to start earning without first learning. You start putting out shoddy jobs out there, and you are wondering why you are not making successful out of it. Or why you are not making a success out of it, beg your pardon. There's a time to learn. There's a time when you won't start making money from that new skill. There's a time when you have to hone that skill. There's a time when you have to intentionally make your mistake at the local level so that you won't expose your mediocrity to the public. There's a time. Those times are the times for you to build capacity. There's a time when you have to be tending your father's sheep somewhere, or at fighting lion and bear, so that you have a credential to stand before Saul, even though you know that what you have is not the credential. You have a God. But the world system does not respect God. They respect credential. So you have to have a track record of success in small, small things that will make you stand before human board, decision makers, to allow you to go and slay your giant. But when you face the giant, you won't be presenting that credential, you'll be presenting your God. But the world system will not allow you to stand before your giants if you haven't killed your bears and your lions. So your response to a future that has been convinced of is capacity building. A lot of people want to earn without first learning. There's a system that is being placed already that will chop you out if you arrive suddenly. Because if you don't grow up, you jump up, you will come down. Only those who grow up stay up. So build capacity. And the best time to do so is now. 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 Build capacity. Build capacity as a man. There's a beloved person to us, a very dear person to me. I was screaming at the husband on phone. My wife was the one calming me down. Obviously, this guy is just aged. But he has a 10-year-old baby brain. Treating a woman anyhow. He called me back. I said, get off my phone. Don't you ever call me again until you grow up. Treating a woman, a pregnant woman, your wife put to bed, and you are gallivanting around. I felt like flying to where he is and give him a dirty knockout. And this is the problem. A lot of people my wife knows this person I'm talking about. Every time on her status, she always put her husband's picture. Love of my life. I love you from the day I... And she's been going through hell. See, don't believe all the things you see on social media. So this is a boy in a man body who has refused to grow up. He hasn't built capacity. There is more to this thing. You have to build capacity. Because if success happens to you and you're not prepared, it will destroy you. Let me show you an example that will help you. 2 Kings 17. I want you to pay attention to this. 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 17, verse 24. I want you to see something. So that's why in this church, some people are in a relationship and they don't tell me. You are doing yourself. You know I'm already married. I can't take your wife. And see, let me tell you. See, you can't enter my eye. Even before I got married, you all know. I have certain physical rules. Most of you, 90% of you, I'm older than you. I have a rule. I can't marry anybody I am 4 or 5 years above downward, older than. It is something in my head that has never worked. It will never work. So I got married. It's just that way. And the average age of everybody in this church is 19.8. The last time we did it, last year we did it. So this year, I think it has grown to like 21 or 20. So you know if you enter my high. Our last born is, they are going to be 21. I change their napkin. The picture is on my head. I can never. So if you are doing all your this thing, I don't care. No problem. When trouble comes, don't come near me. Because, see, there are some people, they are just big. He's a baby. They have not built capacity for that thing. Build capacity for this thing. Now look at this. In 2 Kings 17, verse 24, let me tell you the story. God's children, they fumbled. And so they were chased out of their inheritance. And some new persons now have come to take the inheritance. That's like eating a jackpot, you understand? Are you following? So this is it. 2 Kings 17, 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, the Gentiles, and from Cusa, and from Ava, and from Amath, and from Sepharvaim. My teeth. And placed them in the cities of Samaria. Samaritans are half, breed of the Jew. By the word Jew is actually just a generic word for everyone who is from the descendant of Abraham. But actually, the word Jew means Judah. And Judah is just one tribe out of the children of Jacob. Are you following? Don't let me stress you. But Samaria are still God's people too. Samaritans. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, they have taken Samaria instead of the children of Israel. Can you see that? Look at it. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha, from Ava, from Amath, from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of God's people, Samaria, instead of children of Israel. Can you see that? Children of Israel were the ones staying there, so they were displaced. And they possessed Samaria. Please, don't miss me in this teaching. Don't miss me in this chapter, this verse I'm reading. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. That's like dispossessing the people of their own possession, right? Verse 25. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there. When they came into that place, guess what happened? That they feared not the Lord. And look at what happened. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them. What the Lord sent? These are Bible language twists. It's not the Lord sent, the Lord permitted. Because in Hebrew and Greek, there is no difference between active and passive verb. So, for instance, when you read scriptures that says, an evil spirit came from the presence of the Lord to torment Saul, it wasn't from the Lord. Because no evil is in God. So, it's supposed to be permitted. So, these are hermeneutical blunder. That's why you have to enroll for hermeneutical masterclass that will be happening next Saturday. 10 hours, my masterclass is a teaching. You have to know these things so that you won't accuse God. For instance, when you read Isaiah 45 verse 7 or 42 verse 7, beg your pardon, where Isaiah says, I, the Lord, I kill, I make alive. And then you now come to John 1, when the Bible says in verse 17, James 1, 17, that in him is light, there is no darkness at all. So you are finding problem with reconciling the scriptures. There is a way to this thing. And today is not for a hermeneutic masterclass, but I just said this to arrive at a point, that it was not as if God sent lion. God permitted lion because, see, let me tell you, God has set systems that he himself cannot help himself. Let me give you an example. If you climb this building, for example, and you jump up, even though it is true from scripture that he will send his angels charge of you, what will happen to you is you will break your leg and God will now speak to me in his mercy to go and lay hands on you. So God will not suspend gravity for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has set law in place. If you go and fornicate and you catch gonorrhea, now God is not going to stop the bacteria from entering into you. He will allow you to come to church one day after 1 week of suffering, and going to the toilet all the time, crying, hey. You come to church, the power of the Holy Ghost out of mercy will now heal you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So God will not bypass his law. He says, thou art esteemed thy words above thy name. So what happened here is they did not fear God in that land. Now pay attention. Let's go back. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions, permitted lions among them, which did what? Slew some of them. Verse 26. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, hey, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. That means they did not build capacity for how to behave in their new position. Somebody can get a promotion and he does not know that there's a new way to behave in this new position, and then he will lost it. Let me give you a very minor example. Some of you, there is a particular amount of money that your mental capacity has built. Some of you, it is 20,000 naira. The moment an uncle sent you 100K that goes above that 20K, your spending will change. Your levels will change. Your cravings will change. All of a sudden, all your shoes will look old to you. All of a sudden, you want to change all your clothes. And then you keep buying until you go back to that 20K again, you now calm down. So while you are there praying for 1 million, you haven't actually built a mental capacity for that 1 million. So, but somebody, listen, but somebody who has built a mental capacity for 1 million, when that 100K comes into his hand, he will go into a state of entropy, disarray of how to multiply the money. He will not rest until he reaches that 1 million. But for you who have not built mental capacity for it, when that 1 million comes, you will also not rest until you have come back to that 20K. Do you get the difference? So you have to build capacity. One of the richest guys, Bill Gates, was interviewed some years ago. And he said, the same house I've been living in 40 years is where I'm living. They were interviewing Elon Musk. I was watching it yesterday. And then he said, look, I live in some of the spare rooms of my friends. The last time Mark Zuckerberg came to Nigeria, the owner of Facebook, maybe you saw him in Lagos Street wearing joggers, no designer, no chain, no iron teeth. When I was young, my had beef, 17 years old, in the street. And then you give yourself bow leg, cane leg that you never had. Somebody say capacity. Now look at the response. Look at it. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, they know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he had sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Verse 27, then the king, look at what King Assyria did. Then King Assyria commanded, saying, carry Tiltah, one of the priests whom ye brought from thence. That means the people you evacuated. Bring one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let him go dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. So you see Serena Williams, all right, doing her own magic on the tennis court, but she has a coach. You have to build capacity. Listen, like I said, prophecy only speaks of potential, not the fulfillment thereof. You have to get your hands dirty. In this church now, as we are seated there, every one of us have muscles, but not all of us are muscular. For you to be muscular, you have to eat the gym. No pain, no gain. If you don't eat that gym, you would have muscles, but you would never smell being muscular. This is the point. If you don't build capacity for that future, you will only be dreaming it, but you'll just be a mere dreamer. And he began to teach them. Look at verse 28. 28 now tells us something. Look at 28. Give me 28. It says, then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord, how they should behave, how they should talk. When I was in the corporate world, I was institution sales lead for Simba, all right. As a senior staff, there's a way to behave, there's a way to dress. The guys, junior staff, and staff in training, they can dress some, they can wear jeans. But me, I have to dress well because I am a senior staff and my work is, I'm to do, there's something we call B2B and B2G. I was the lead for B2G and B2B for my own line of business. This is a conglomerate. They are the one doing Kekena Pep, you know, Tricycle, all this. They are the, so I'm there. I'm to go to House of Rep, go to Director, go to speak to, you know, Minister of Finance, their PAMSEC. So I have to dress in a way. I don't have a car, but the company have to pay me what they call conveyance for me to go and hire a Jeep so that I will look big to go and speak to, you know, to the MD of Julius Baja. So that when I sit at the back there, all right, with my mustache, they just want to say, yeah, I want to see the MD. I have a meeting with him. And I'm not going to wear chain and iron teeth. I'm going to dress normal. Go there. There's a way to walk. There's a way to talk. Because I'm not a junior staff. I'm not doing B2C, business to customer. No, I'm doing business to business. And businesses in other places will send their representative who is also well-dressed. I'm going to reach conversation. And I have to know how to use the right diction. Listen, it's a building. You got to build capacity for this thing. If Baba Adeboye calls me today and say, my son, I want you to come and preach tomorrow at Redemption Camp. Listen, I'm prepared. I will stand before millions and preach. build capacity. And the solution is you have to have a teaching priest. Good news, you have one in this house. Yes. Yes, by the grace of God, you have one in this house. You have to be taught. Because the best way to learn is by instruction, not by experience. Because experience are never a good teacher. But when experience teach you, it may take eternity to recover. So it's good to learn. You don't need to put your hand in fire to know it burns. The simple instruction, don't put your hand there because it burns, you'll be enough. All this inquisitiveness, all right, you know, that is sandwiched with sugar or foolishness. I can do bad by myself. Nobody can control me now. This is sitting down there. You want to know why you should sit down there? Question. Is sitting down there hurting you? No, then sit down. Is the reason why some people, they are saying, hey, there are some lost book in Bible. They are looking for lost book until they are lost. Don't make your life complex. See, I've not started this teaching. This today is just to introduce you to this teaching. I'm going to be showing you step by step from next week. Because you must picture that future. And you must walk in that future. You must walk in that destiny. No more potential lying somewhere untapped. No. Take, for example, 200 years ago, we were living in abject poverty in this country. Meanwhile, we were walking on oil. On gold, we never knew. Although we have poor leadership. If not, Nigeria should be like Dubai by now. It was in the 80s or 60s, beg your pardon. Malaysia came to Nigeria, southwest Nigeria, to pick the oil spasm, oil jam plasm. Their biggest buildings right now in Malaysia were built with revenue from oil. I'm not talking about petroleum oil, palm oil. But all the while, we've been working on looking. You see, that's what the Bible says, that there is food in the tillage of the poor. That means inside his dustbin, there is food there, but he's poor. So that's why your greatest prayer is not, God, give me money. It's, God, open my eyes. That's one of the reasons why in this church we have started that this year we are starting a community group where we give you opportunity to interact with peer mentoring from people who are already doing what you want to do that can put you through how to do this and do this. So we have art and entertainment. We have different. Next week, we're going to tell you how to onboard you. And you're going to invite all your friends as well from all over. It's not a church thing. The idea is to bring you into relationships, because at the end of your sojourn in Insuk, what will matter most are the relationships you meet in the line of your pursuit. We want to create opportunities for you and then give you the insight with the benefit of hindsight, so that you can have the strategic planning capacity for the expected future. Future is not for those who put ends akimbo. Future is for those who take it. Let me show you another scripture, then I close. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. And verse 29. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have just 5 more minutes. I told you this year we are not taking time. Now, I want you to give me verse 28. Now, I will talk more on this from next week, but let me just give you a bird's eye view. You remember God promised them the land of the Hittite, Jebusite, you remember? Come on. Jebusite, all the Hittite, you remember? Now, look at what God said in verse 28. He says, and I will send hornet. I will send hornet before thee. We shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. 29 now says, look, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. God is saying, look, your destiny will not happen to you suddenly. He says, look at what I will do. He says, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. Does it look like what we read in 2 Kings? Lion came and devoured them. He's saying, look, I'm not going to make this destiny happen at once because you have to build capacity for it. Now, here he's talking about a scenario where the people were driven out of the land, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the Hittites. God is saying, look, when we drive them out, don't forget that in ecosystem, the reason why in Kefi, for example, we are not seeing reports on radio stations, on TV, that people are being killed by animals is because the number of people living in Kefi outweigh the number of the animals. So we are putting the animal under check. If a snake show up there now, men in this place will kill it. But imagine if we have just 20 people in the whole of Kefi. The grasses will grow and encroach to where we are living. We won't be able to tame the animals. They will be having more children. They will grow against us and they will devour us. So God is saying, I will not take the old land for you at once. Verse 30 now speaks. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. Verse 30. He says, by little and little. This is God, though. So all this, you see, religion makes, the religion that makes you think of Jehovah Sharp is a lie. Suddenly. When you are not the band, suddenly. Suddenly. Oh, yeah. So, Oga, look. It doesn't happen suddenly. If it happens suddenly, you'll be gone suddenly. People like to circumvent process. Build capacity. I want to marry. But you've not learned how to care just for a person without demanding anything. You have to first kill that first to be selfless. Because when you finally get married, the time will come when your wife will say, I just need massage, no show. I don't know. So, you must have learned how to care for people without needing anything for you to be able to do that. Do you get what I'm saying? So, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased. Until you build capacity to inherit the land. Build capacity. Jesus told his disciples, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's a making in followership. So in following, you learn the ways. You build capacity. Jesus built capacity for 30 years. It's not who first starts. It is how well you finish. Jesus built capacity for 30 years and he did and finished his ministry in 3.5 years. And that ministry is speaking after 2,000 years till date. But for 30 years, he built capacity. At the age of 12, he was already going to the temple to converse with the doctors of law at 12 years. You are 25. You are still going home after every small holiday. You can't go hungry for just 2 days. You say, I want to die. Oh, mommy, I'm coming home. Someone say, build capacity. Say it 3 times. Say, I build capacity. Say it again. One more time. So recognize. Yes, she's saying it from her heart. Yes, I like you. Yes. Yes, yes, build capacity. I want to give you 1 minute. Write down now. If you have your phone or you write it down now. What do you intend? What do you see? Write number one, projected. Put a colon in front of it. What do you project yourself to be in 10 years' time? Is it a pastor, an engineer, a lawyer, a mass communicator, a newscaster,
What do you see yourself in 10 years? Write it down. Write number one, projected. Then you put a colon in front of it. Write that thing. Then number two, write action plan with colon in front of it. Now, I'm giving you that as an assignment now. You go back home. Even Google search. Some people don't know how to use Google. What do I do? Okay, my future is to be a pastor. What do I do? I can. How many of you know that I can keep you here 10 hours preaching? Capacity. Capacity. I can start opening every verse of scripture and I'll be teaching you till Jesus comes. And you just be going for break, eat, come back, and I'll still be teaching. Capacity. Brother Kenneth Copeland is 86 and he's still preaching for 4 hours. Capacity. Capacity. Build that capacity. And that's my future. I'm going to preach on TV. Are you hearing what I'm saying? On DSTV. I'm going to be sharing the word of God. Everywhere. Working miracles. Teaching the word of faith. I was born for it. Kefi is my training ground. The world is my stage. And I'm not going to take it lightly. I'm going to pose for it. There's something we call dressing for the job. I'm already dressing for the job. So you're going to say, I'm dressing for the job. I'm looking myself in the mirror. And I'm going to condone my speech that way. I'm going to talk that way. I'm going to learn how to pronounce words. I'm going to get better every day. I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to study scripture. I'm going to know how to arrange scriptures. I'm going to learn how to explain scripture. You see, I'm going to learn these things. I'm going to build myself. So that tomorrow, if I get a call from Apostle Joshua Selman to come and preach, I won't be shivering on the mic. Or if I get a call from, Brother Kenneth Copeland in the U.S. say, come and preach, I won't be shivering. Or Baba Debo, he calls me and says, come and preach in the redemption camp for one of our retreats, and I won't be shivering. In 1,000, just 1 million people, I'll not be shivering. No. I have to build capacity for it. Now I'm building it for it right now. So I'm building for it. Listen, there is no overnight success. Usually when you see people succeed suddenly, it is you who saw them suddenly. If there was any ever overnight success, that night must have been a very long night. It could be a long night of 10 years behind the wilderness that you never saw them. Build capacity. People are saying, oh, Edepo, Edepo, Bishop, Edepo. That man, where were you in the early 80s? He would drive his car from Ibadan to Kaduna on every weekend to preach in two places. From Ilorin, they would drive down. And this is a car that you'll be seeing the ground inside the car. When they started the ministry, they were using one room for office, that same room him and his wife were living in, and it's the same room they're using for office. These were graduates. The wife finished from Baltimore Law University. He finished from Polytechnic. You see, if you don't know the pain, you cannot celebrate people's glory. And if you are jealous of people's glory without knowing their pain, you are a witch. So you have to build capacity for this thing. Build capacity for this thing. And my prayer for you is this. That you realize that you don't have two lives. You have just one life. And your youth age, if you squander it, it will shock you. If you squander your youth age for nothing and nothingness. That's why in this church we have a lot of trainings on ground to enhance your destiny. There's ladies in church, they have, assignment they give them, all right? We are starting MIT very soon. After hermeneutics, we'll start MIT, ministers in training. We'll be having weekly meetings on Zoom. Then we'll be having one meeting every once in a month where we'll gather, where we'll teach principles. Let me end with this. I was listening to Elon Musk. Sorry, somebody said, Pastor, just Elon Musk you are mentioning. He's like, you like money? Oga, without money, you can't do destiny. You see the way I'm shouting now. If I had good mic, I won't be shouting. You don't know. You would soon know. And you can learn. See, principle work for any people, any person, anywhere. They were asking the guy, Elon Musk, they said, you know, how is he able to achieve this electric car? The first one they asked him, they said, how was he able to, what is this plan about this is, you know, SpaceX shift and all of that. Because his own heroes were against him. People like Neil Armstrong. If you read physics textbooks those days, about, you know, Neil Armstrong. These were U.S. veterans in the field of, you know, astrology. Is it astrology or astronomy? You call it astronomy. People that went to the space. He did the first trial. The team burnt off. This is a whooping $38.8 billion gone. Pew, just like that. He did the second one. Did the third one 2014. Until the last one he did. And they made a success. And they asked him, what was your motivation? He says, I have never and I will never, I have learned to never give up. Then they asked him about the electric cars. That what was his motivation? He said, because there are a lot of companies like Toyota, you know, all these guys are already doing fine. How are you going to compete? How are you going to do all these things? Because it's a crazy idea. Electric cars, how? How do you power it? Look at what he says. He's the owner of Tesla. Look at what he said. He said, it's not about whether or not he has the money. It's whether or not he has just a group of few who are dedicated and well-grounded in what they are doing. See, there's a high jump principle that says you don't need 9 people who can jump 1 foot each to pass off a 9-foot jump. You only need 1 skilled person who can jump that 9 feet. It's called a high jump principle. In other words, it's not about the number. It's about the proficiency, the efficiency, the excellence, and the dedication. Listen, talent is overrated. Work ethic is the key to success. Lift your hands and appreciate him. Father, we thank you for today. Let's sing this song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Yeah, because I know. Oh, he holds my future. Life is what my life is worth living just because he. Father, we thank you. Our future is secured in you. Help us, Lord, to prioritize choices over chances and to make the right decision that will prepare us for our tomorrow. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for this.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.